And let's start with the biggest problem. The biggest problem, you've heard about this, and I have to break this stuff down for me, because when I started looking at the economy and listening to these people talk, what, liquidity, what is that? What do you mean, mortgage-backed security? Security, what security, what? Huh? Here's why the housing boom took off. Because they were given anybody who could breathe a mortgage. And I would run into this with CNN. I was starting to do stories about the mortgage thing. You know, the 1-800-1888, call Hope right now, we'll redo it. That was a total ruse.
Right.
When I asked him how many permanent loans had you permanently changed, and how many have you permanently? It was like you know, the wordsmithing. Finally
right
got him to say, well, not very many. They were mad about that. I mean, they wouldn't call my boss.
We were actually, my wife and I were talking about this today. My wife is actually a watcher of real estate and mortgages and has been for years. It's kind of a hobby of hers. And she was, at the time, I had an advertiser on the station that I was working on during the week that was really hawking these mortgages that were these sort of subprime mortgages that were all these balloon-based, payment systems. And they were, you know, if you're going to keep this house and you keep it for 2 years and you sell it before the balloon is due and all this, it was all, you know, all these really attractive arms. But later on, these you know, interest payments were going to be draconian. So it was kind of predicated on the idea that you would be out before the higher interest rates would kick in,
et cetera.
Or you just refinance. And so, but they actually openly talked about, hey, you're only going to want this house for 2 years anyway. Then you're going to move on to something bigger. You could add more kids. And it seemed, my wife kept saying, oh, this is wrong. This is wrong. People are going to get stung with this. This is like a shell game. This is like a con. And I thought, and I didn't know enough about it at the time to argue with her, but gosh, she sure proved to be right.
She nailed it. And you know, it wasn't just subprime. That's a huge misnomer. Yes, subprime.
Oh, okay.
Subprime brought up all the levels. Everybody was taking home equity out, which is nothing more than a debt on top of debt. It's nothing more than a fancy name for a second mortgage.
I mean,
it's easy to – it's like the Jerry Seinfeld with the car rental. You know, it's easy to take the reservation. The hard part is to keep the reservation. Hey, it's easy to take the money. The hard part is to pay the money back.
Right.
Not use your house as a continual, you know, ATM machine. But what happened was they wanted to securitize the debt. They securitized the debt, which they took a bunch of mortgages and they called them tranches. So they had some really good mortgages and some pretty good mortgages and some average mortgages and some, you know, Alt-A, some little, you know, not so good, and then subprime. And this was supposed to, you know, all the tranches, what they call tranches of debt, was supposed to, you know, spread out the risk. It
right
was a financial innovation.
It was like a mutual fund.
But Max Kaiser, this is a guy overseas who says, hey, that's like having a diamond and throwing it into a bucket of glass and calling the whole bucket of glass diamonds.
Well, maybe, yeah. I guess I think that there at the beginning, maybe the idea was is you spread out the risk by putting the good in with the bad, but there was going to be enough good in there that was going to buoy the bad. But then the problem was what they thought it was being good ends up being bad.
Well, what happened was all stratifications of mortgages went bad. Well, they
right
were bundling these mortgages into mortgage-backed securities. So you'd have bundles of mortgages. And this is where it gets really freaky for anybody with a house. They were bundling these mortgages into securities, and they could do this by having a promissory note. Now, you think you're paying your house over 30 years, but you don't.
Right.
You pay your house when you sign that promissory note. And let me set the basis here of the promissory note.
Okay.
The promissory note is in the same family, but not the same, but in the same family as a Federal Reserve note. That means it's a financial instrument. So you hear this thing about robo-signing and, oh, the documents are messed up and whatever. Well, imagine you having your Federal Reserve note and you lose it, and then you go and you and your wife or your brother-in-law
right
or whatever get together and you start counterfeiting some. Can you do that?
No.
Let's say you lose your Federal Reserve notes, but you were smart. You took copies, color beautiful copies of your Federal Reserve notes. Is that a financial instrument? Can you take that to the 7-Eleven and buy yourself some soda and some beer?
No, and I'm 4 for 4.
There you go.
Yeah.
So they lost these promissory notes. First of all, they had fraud in the documentation process for these securities. People didn't have second jobs. They weren't making what they say they were making. They gave them the loans, knowing that they would never pay them back. So it wasn't good faith. The promissory notes were not kept with the securities. Now, in order to securitize something, you have to have the promissory note with the security. Otherwise, it
right.
can't be security. Well, they lost the promissory notes. They put them in what's called the MERS system, or the Mortgage Electronic Registry System. You know what? That's not the way in most 50 states in the country how you track real estate. It has to have signed off by a notary. It has to make sure that that document is a financial instrument, just like that Federal Reserve note, that promissory note, if I had to be with the security. So when they created the securities, they didn't have the promissory notes. Guess what? That's not a security.